Have you truly been born again of water and the Spirit? New Revised Edition. Paul C. Jong. Please note the following. Scripture quotations used in this book are from the New King James Version, American Standard Version. Preface. We must be born again of water and the Spirit. God, when He created the sky and the earth at the beginning of time, also created the eternal worlds, heaven and hell. He also created man in His own image. However, since the first man Adam sinned before God, all people have to die once. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, the death of our flesh is the passageway to eternal life. Those who are without sin shall enter the eternal world of heaven and enjoy forever the joy of being a child of God, while sinners will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation chapter 20 verse 10, and be tormented day and night for all eternity. Therefore, all of humankind must be born again. We have to be born again through our faith, be redeemed and become righteous, for only then can we enter the eternal kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 5. To be born again of water and the Spirit is the only way we can enter the eternal kingdom of heaven. What then is this water and the Spirit that allows us to be born again? The water in the Bible is the baptism of Jesus. Why was Jesus, who is God, baptized by John the Baptist? Was it to show His humility? Was it to proclaim Himself the Messiah? No, it wasn't. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist by means of the laying on of hands, Leviticus chapter 16 verse 21, it was one man's righteous act, Romans chapter 5 verse 18. Which took away all the sins of humankind. In the Old Testament, God gave Israel the merciful law of redemption. This was so that on the Day of Atonement, all the sins of Israel for that year could be expiated through the high priest Aaron by laying his hands on the head of the scapegoat and passing all the sins onto that scapegoat. This was the word of Revelation which foretold the sacrifice of eternal atonement to come in the future. It revealed the truth that all the sins of humanity would be passed on, once for all, to Jesus who came in the flesh of a man according to the will of the Father. He was baptized by John the Baptist, who was the descendant of Aaron and the representative of all humankind. When Jesus was baptized, He said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. Here, "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," has the same meaning as the laying on of hands in the Old Testament. It is how all the sins of the world were transferred onto Jesus, and it blots out the sins of all who believe. The meaning of the righteousness of God is most fair or most appropriate. Jesus had fulfilled righteousness for all people through His baptism in a just and fitting manner. Because Jesus took on all the sins of people through His baptism, the next day John the Baptist testified, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John chapter 1 verse 29. With all the sins of humankind on His shoulders, Jesus walked towards the cross, and He took the judgment for all the sins He had taken on Himself through His baptism. He died on the cross, saying, "It is finished," John chapter 19 verse 30. He took all our sins onto himself and received the complete judgment for them in our place. The baptism of Jesus is the antitype of salvation. Therefore, without having the faith in the baptism of Jesus, we cannot be saved. That is why the Apostle Peter declared the water of Jesus' baptism to be an antitype which now saves us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Today, most people who believe in Jesus do not believe in the baptism of Jesus, the water, but only believe in his death on the cross. But will this save sinners? Can we be redeemed by believing only in the blood of Jesus? Can it give us salvation? No. We cannot be redeemed before God just by believing in Jesus' death on the cross. When the people of Israel offered the sacrifice of atonement at the time of the Old Testament, it was lawlessness to kill the sin offering without first laying hands on the head of the sacrifice and passing on their sins to it. Thus, it would be wrong and lawless to believe only in the cross of Jesus without believing in his baptism. Therefore, the Apostle Peter said, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Just as the people who didn't believe in the great water, the flood, during the time of Noah were destroyed, those who do not believe in the water, the baptism of Jesus, now will surely be destroyed. The complete faith that leads us to true salvation is the faith in who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. We ought to believe in both the baptism and the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Apostle John said that the correct faith is to believe in the witness of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. What constitutes true faith is to believe like this. Jesus is God himself, and he came in the flesh of a man by the Spirit through the body of the Virgin Mary, and he took away all the sins of the world by being baptized at the Jordan by John the Baptist, the representative of all humankind, and Jesus took all the sins of all people to the cross, and he received the judgment for all of them. Therefore, the gospel cannot be complete without the baptism of Jesus, the water, and no matter how well we believe in Jesus, we can never reach eternal salvation without it. The historical background by which the true gospel was lost to the church. Why is it that nowadays the true gospel of the baptism of Jesus has become so rare and the false gospels have instead spread widely throughout the world? After Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven, the apostles preached this gospel of the water and the blood. If we read the New Testament carefully, we can see that not only did the writers of the Bible, including Paul, Peter, and John, but all the apostles and the workers of the early church, had clearly preached the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Meanwhile, the devil had been contriving since the beginning to alter the gospel and to take away the power of life from the church. From the time of the Milan Edict of 313 AD, the Christian church was caught up in a carefully laid trap of the devil. The political powers of the Roman Empire, in exchange for recognizing Christianity as the state religion, were able to attain political stability by specifying that, baptize anyone who entered the church, the Roman Empire could unite the diverse peoples of its many colonies. It was the result of these circumstances that caused the recitation of the Apostles' Creed to be substituted as the basis of religious training. Because of that, the gospel in strict accordance with the Bible, in other words, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which gives us in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, disappeared altogether. Just as Satan had planned, the false gospel allowing no one to be born again came to prosper throughout the world. For 1,000 years after the Milan Edict, the Dark Ages of Christianity stifled the whole European world. Although a series of new Reformation movements had arisen in many countries, urging people back to the words, grace, and faith, none of them had found the true gospel, the gospel of the water and the blood. This true gospel has been kept alive in the hands of a few who followed the words since the age of the apostles. And just like a stream that has disappeared into the ground, which springs up again in the lower plains, it is springing up again in the last days and being proclaimed throughout the world. This is the first book in the world today to preach the gospel of the baptism of Jesus as it is written in the Bible. This is the first book in the world today to preach the gospel of the baptism and the blood of Jesus as it is written in the Scriptures. That is the gospel which tells us that He took away all our sins through His baptism and took over judgment for all our sins on the cross. I am sure that there is no other book that preaches the gospel of the water and the blood more clearly and faithfully than this one. In today's world, where the internet is a valuable tool for the research and discovery of knowledge, I have tried to find some soulmates who preach the gospel as it is written in the Bible, who know and preach the secret of the baptism of Jesus by faith. But I have failed so far. Therefore, I have decided to publish this Book of the Gospel in all the languages of the world. When the flood covers the whole world, the water may overflow all over the world, but there will not be any water that one can safely drink. In the same way, there are many so-called servants of God who preach a pseudo-gospel, but there is none who gives us the true life. The Samaritan woman who drank from the well of Jacob every day couldn't quench her spiritual thirst, but when she drank the water of Jesus, she earned salvation and thus quenched her thirst immediately and forever. The water of Jesus is flowing in this book. Whoever drinks from it will be saved from sin forever. He will never be trapped by sin again. But rather, the living water will flow from them and quench the thirst of other souls around them. Let us become the workers of God, the repairers of the breach. We are living in an age close to the end of the world. This is the time when all the sins of humankind run rampant, calling for the righteous judgment of God. Scientists unveiled genetically synthesized sheep, Dolly. And people are almost ready to accept genetically reproduced human beings. Today, humanity is building another Tower of Babel. The previous time when humankind attempted such things, God scattered them all over the earth by confusing their languages. Now, without the mercy of God, the 7 great tribulations and everlasting judgment will be poured all over those lost souls who have not been born again. Therefore, I pray and urge you to read this book carefully. I pray that you may be born again of water and the Spirit. This book preaches the gospel precisely as it is written in the Bible. Therefore, as it is said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8 verses 31 to 32. May you get to know the words of truth through this book and be freed from sin and death. May you be redeemed and earn everlasting life in Him. Let us do the work of the Father together to save the souls of His people by preaching the gospel of the water and the blood. I sincerely hope that the true gospel will shine all over the world again. I am sure the true gospel will make you repair the breaches of today's Christian faith with the words of truth. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Many of you are surely not familiar with the gospel of being born again of water and the Spirit, so I have attempted to lay great emphasis on the gospel of the baptism of Jesus and his cross in every sermon. If there had been no baptism of Jesus, his cross would have been meaningless to all of us. These are the reasons why I have stressed his baptism repeatedly. My purpose is to make it clear to you, until you are all blessed with the gospel of the water, the baptism of Jesus, and the Spirit, I would like to repeat it for you. I eagerly desire that all of you come to believe in the gospel of his baptism and the blood in order to be saved from sin. And I am certain these sermons will lead you to be born again.